Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, a guide, a simple guide for normal people, he shares a story about a church, a small church in Texas, where just close by to them, there was a bar, and that bar was applying for a permit to get bigger, to increase their space. And so the church started to pray against that because they thought this is something that won't be good for their community. And so they put out petitions and they started praying and asking the Lord to do something to stop that bar from expanding. And the ungodly bar owner, he went forward with everything that he was doing, and he was able to get all the approvals that he needed and to increase the size of his bar. And the church thought that they had lost, that their petition and their prayer request had not been answered. And a week before that bar was to reopen in their expanded space, a lightning bolt from above came and struck the bar and burned it down. And the people in the church were thinking, wow, the Lord has answered our prayer, and look at what has happened, and they rejoiced, and they were so thankful. But the bar owner thought, this is not right. This is not fair. Look at what you've done. I've lost my livelihood. I've lost my money. And so the bar owner decided to sue the church for what they had done to him. And he brought his case before the judge. And the judge came to hear this case, and he looked at both sides and he said, I don't know what to do. Here I have an ungodly bar owner that believes in the power of prayer. And I have a church here that is denying the power of prayer because they don't want to take responsibility of what happened. And I wonder how many times we fall into that situation where we don't believe what we pray. And friends, in this month, this vision month, as we look at for today a prayerful vision, I want to encourage you in this one statement. Prayer is the real work of the church and our avenue to deeper life in Christ. There's so many things that we can do as a church, and I'm thankful for our staff team and for our ministry leaders and for all the volunteers and so many different things that we can accomplish here at Unionville Alliance Church for the kingdom of God. But let me boil it down to this, that the real work that God has called us to do is to pray. Prayer is the real work of the church. Prayer is not a means to an end. Prayer is what God is calling us into. And through that, we have an avenue for a deeper life in Christ. In Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read a few verses from there where Jesus talks about prayer. And I'm going to give you three simple points. You've heard me share this before. It's from Pete Gregg's prayer course about three things that we can do with prayer. And they're very simple things. And the first one is just that. Keep it simple. Prayer is just coming to the Lord in a very basic and simple way. In the book of Luke chapter 11, the first four verses says this. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't lead us, and don't let us yield to temptation. And this prayer that Jesus shares here is very simple. It covers the basis of prayer, of praising God, of making petition to him, but also trusting him for our needs, forgiving those that do things against us. And prayer in its essence is very simple. Just come to the Lord in the simplicity of prayer. I pray this prayer every night when I'm home in the evenings and able to put my kids to bed. I pray this prayer with them every night, the Lord's Prayer, so that they can learn the simple pattern of what it is to pray to the Lord. There was a missionary. Her name was Helen Rosevier. She was in the Congo in Africa. And she was a doctor. And one day, as she was helping one of the young women give birth, sadly, as this woman was giving birth, she passed away. And it was a premature baby. And this woman also had a two-year-old daughter as well. And sadly, Helen was left with this premature baby and this young two-year-old. And even though they lived near the equator, one of the things for premature babies, they didn't have all the kind of things that a hospital here would have, like an incubator and all of those things. But she had a hot water bottle that they would use to keep the baby warm. And as they got that ready and filled up the hot water bottle, unfortunately, the bottle broke. And this was in the middle of nowhere, and you can't just go down to the store and buy another hot water bottle. And so the next day, as they were praying, and she gathered the children in the orphanage together, and she shared what had happened, and they prayed for this young two-year-old and this premature baby. And there was this one young girl, her name was Ruth, and Ruth decided to pray. And Ruth prayed to the Lord this very simple but bold prayer: Lord, please provide another water bottle, hot water bottle. And Lord, it can't be tomorrow because the baby needs it today. So you have to do it this afternoon. And Lord, just so that you can show how much you love this two-year-old girl, could you also provide a dolly for her, a doll? And she prayed such a simple prayer, but a powerful one from her heart. And Helen said that she had never received something from her home church, but that afternoon she got a message saying that there was a delivery, and it was a 22-pound box. And she came home and she saw the 22-pound box, and she couldn't believe it. She was stunned. And she called the children in the orphanage together, and they opened up the box. And as they opened up the box and took one thing out after another, guess what was there? A hot water bottle. And she couldn't believe it. 5 months before this prayer was even prayed, the answer was given when they packed that box. And the little girl, Ruth, do you know what she said? If the Lord provided a water bottle, there has to be a doll in there. Let me look. And she went through and she took out all the other stuff. And there it was, the doll for this little girl. And the prayer was answered. And she told Helen, she said, can I go with you to those children and give that doll to this two-year-old girl so that she would know how much Jesus loves her? Friends, it's simple, but it's powerful. The simplicity of prayer to the Lord. The second thing is, keep it real. Keep it real with the Lord. Just express your burden, express your pain, express what you're going through. It doesn't need to be polished. It doesn't need to be something that sounds nice. It just needs to be raw and real. In Luke chapter 11 from verse 5, it says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Just keep it real before the Lord. Lord, I need this. I need bread. I need something. Just keep it real before the Lord. Whatever your burden is, whatever your petition is, bring that before the Lord. It doesn't need to be polished. It doesn't need to sound nice. You're going through a hardship. You can complain to the Lord. You're going through some difficulty. You can express that to him. A few weeks ago, when we were finishing off our series on the book of James, we had a time of prayer at the end. We had our elders at the front praying and anointing with oil as the Lord commands in the book of James chapter 5. A couple of weeks after that, a lady came up to me because she wanted to find me. And she came and she told me this story. She said, Daniel, when I was in that service, I had come to that service after seeing my doctor. And they had taken some scans and I had some problems in my body that required surgery. And when I came to that service, I was sitting there. And she said, as the listening prayer time happened, she heard the voice of the Lord during the listening prayer time say, healing, during listening prayer. And that gave her boldness to come forward. She said she had never come forward before, but because she heard the word healing, she decided to come forward. Our annual report is coming out this week, this story is in that report. There's some other amazing and wonderful stories that you should read. I encourage you to do that. And so she decided at the end, when the elders were at the front, that she would come forth for prayer. And so she came forth in faith, having heard the word of the Lord, healing spoken to her. And one of the elders anointed her with oil and prayed over her. And she said she felt the presence of God at that time. She felt the peace of God at that time. And she left feeling and knowing that the Lord was with her. She went to her doctor and they took some scans and they checked her out. And guess what? They said, there's nothing wrong with you. Isn't that amazing? Keep it real before the Lord. Come to the Lord in prayer. Come to the Lord. So she came and she found me a couple of weeks later to tell me what happened. And then she found that elder that prayed for her and wanted to tell him as well what had happened. Keep it real before the Lord. Express your burden to him. Tell him your pain. And finally, keep it up. Prayer requires persistence. Prayer requires us going to the Lord over and over again. In verse 9, it says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Keep it up. Prayer is not a one-time thing. Prayer is part of what we need to do to persist in prayer. As God builds up our faith and as we trust in him, we persist in prayer and we ask him to do the impossible. Many years ago, when I taught at a Christian school in New York City, and during lunchtime, I would gather some of the students together during lunchtime to pray, particularly some of the high school students, we would gather together to pray. And we prayed according to this acronym PUSH. We wanted to keep pushing. Push, push, push. And PUSH stood for pray until something happens. And we prayed week after week after week and month after month after month. And we asked for revival and we asked for God to do something. And one Friday, we normally had chapel on Friday. It was a one-hour chapel. And the church that we were affiliated with, they would normally send one of the pastors to give a message on each Friday. And that one particular Friday, we got a message from the church saying, all the pastors are busy, we can't send anybody. And so the principal came to me and said, hey, let's both of us take the service and we'll let the Spirit of the Lord move. And friends, we prayed until something happened week after week after week, month after month after month. And that Friday, something happened. The Spirit of God was just poured out in an amazing and wonderful way. That chapel that should have ended at 10 o'clock, it went to about 3 or 4 o'clock. And the following weeks after that, we didn't have a chapel that finished before 12. It would either finish at 12 or 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock because the Spirit of God just would move sovereignly. These young people were crying out to God, worshiping the Lord. There were the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation as people were prophesying and speaking words of wisdom and knowledge. And it was amazing and it was wonderful. And I had never seen anything like that. But we prayed until something happened. And can I encourage you as well? Pray until something happens. And so here at Unionville Alliance Church, can I tell you a little bit about prayer here? We have a before service prayer time that we pray in our back office area around 9:40, 9:45. You can come and pray. It's open and for everyone to come and pray together before the service. We have an after service prayer time where our prayer team is here at the front. And I want to encourage you, take that step of faith, take that step of vulnerability and transparency to come and just make your request known. And say, can you pray for me? Or if you have a praise report, come and share that praise so that someone else can praise God with you together. And come forward and let's be a people of prayer. On Tuesdays, we're going to be gathering together. We're making a little bit of a change in what we're doing on Tuesday nights. From now, the first prayer meeting is this Tuesday at 7 p.m. And we're going to be in the youth portable building. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have a time of scripture and listening. We're going to have a time of small group prayer and large group prayer. We're going to be able to sing and worship the Lord in song. And so we're going to have just in-person only from September till December is going to be in-person only in our portable. Then from January to Easter, it's going to be online only during those winter months. And then after Easter, we're going to go back to in-person only. And I want to invite you, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you to try to come out at least once a month. You can come out more, and I hope you do. But can you arrange your life around prayer? Can you arrange your schedule and your life around at least coming out once a month to pray together and to see and know and experience the power of prayer? We have prayer in our small groups. If you're not part of a small group, I want to encourage you as we start our ministry year to join a small group. On Wednesdays, we send out a prayer line. So if you have a prayer request that you want to go on that prayer line, it's sent out to 100 plus people and people will be able to pray for you. We also have a prayer request form on our website where you can fill out a prayer request, and it goes to a group of about 30 people that would pray together if you request that, or something to be sent to the elders as well. And the elders are willing to pray and anoint with oil over you as the Word of God commands us. We also have various prayer teams that you can be part of that pray specifically for Alpha and for camps and for other things. In January, as we've done over the last 7 years, we're also going to have another 40-day prayer challenge where you can grow in your prayer life. And there's also various prayer courses and practices that we have. And so can I encourage you, if you want to just be up to date on what's happening in prayer, can you just text the word pray to that number? I won't be sending out some prayer alerts to the whole church, but just to those that subscribe to this, just text the word pray, P-R-A-Y, and you'll automatically be added to a group where on Tuesdays I'll probably send you out something to remind you about our prayer gathering. And if there's other things about prayer, I will send you that during the week. And so I won't spam you, don't worry. But if you'd like to be involved, if you want to take that greater step of prayer, then I want to encourage you just to text the word pray to that number. There's a man named Jim Cimbala. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and some of you might have heard Brooklyn Tabernacle or even heard their music before. And Jim Cimbala, God used this man of God in so many amazing ways. When he first started at Brooklyn Tabernacle, it was just a small church of about 20 people, and it was on a downhill. And God moved sovereignly and amazingly. And they also started a Tuesday night prayer gathering where they would gather and pray. And as the church started to grow and amazing things were happening and they were planting churches and their services were growing and numbers were growing, more people were coming to Jesus, Jim and his wife went through one of the most heart-wrenching experiences of their life, where their daughter, she was with them until the age of 16, and she ran away from home and she got pregnant and she just left the things of God and she was far away. And as she was far away from God and far away from anything to do with the Lord, it broke Jim and his wife's heart. But he prayed and his wife prayed, but it was a tough time. He says, as he tells the story, he talks about how he would leave his house to go to church and he would just cry and he wouldn't want to go to church, even though amazing things were happening. But because of his daughter, he would just cry and weep. And at one point, his wife even just wanted to leave with their other two kids and says, I need to get away from all of this because of the pain that I'm going through. I don't want the same thing that happened to my daughter to happen to my other two kids. And it was such a heart-rending experience. But thankfully, God led them and guided them, and they surrendered to the Lord, even through just walking through one of the most darkest experiences of their life. But then, on one Tuesday night, and I want to read it to you from his own words, on one Tuesday night, they gathered to pray. And he says this, he actually got a note from one of the young women in the church that had a word for him. And the word was, Pastor, I think we need to pray for your daughter today. The Spirit of the Lord is telling me to pray for your daughter. He got this note from one of the ushers, and he didn't want to make the prayer meeting all about his family, but he got this note and he felt, maybe this is from the Lord. He says this, I interrupted the meeting and I had everyone stand. My daughter thinks up is down, white is black and black is white, I said. Someone has sent me a note saying that we are to pray for her, and I take this as being from the Lord. Some of the leaders of the church joined me, and the church began to pray. The room soon felt like the labor room in a hospital. The people called out to God with incredible intensity. This is what we want to do even on our Tuesday nights as we pray together in small groups. We'll have some points to pray for, but you can bring your burdens to the Lord as well. When I got home later, I said to my wife, "It's over." "What's over?" she said. "It's over with Chrissy." That's the name of their daughter. I replied, When we went to the throne of grace, something happened in the heavenly places. He knew something had changed. He knew something had happened. 36 hours later, I was standing in the bathroom shaving. My wife burst into the room. "Chrissy is here," she said. "You better go downstairs." She said, "Trust me, go downstairs." I wiped off the shaving cream. I walked to the kitchen, and there was my daughter, 19 years old, on her knees weeping. She grabbed my leg and said, "Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against myself. Daddy, who was praying on Tuesday night? Who was praying on Tuesday night?" "What do you mean? What happened?" I said. "I was sleeping," she said. "God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he showed me I was heading towards this pit, this chasm, and Daddy, I got so afraid. I saw myself for what I am, but then God showed me he hadn't given up on me. I looked at my daughter and saw the face of the daughter we raised, not the hardened face of the last few years. So Chrissy and our granddaughter moved back into our home." Her daughter now is married to a pastor, and they pastor a wonderful church till this day, following Jesus, loving Jesus. Friends, that is the power of prayer. Would you join with us to pray? Would you unite your heart with us to pray? The power of corporate prayer together. Will you make a commitment today to say, "Yes, Daniel, at least once a month, I'm going to be out there on Tuesday night and pray. And I'm going to see the Lord move, and I'm going to see answers to prayer, and I'm going to see the Spirit of God do something in my life and in my family and in our church like we've never seen before." Friends, we are called to be a people of prayer. We are called to be a house of prayer of all nations. This is the work of the church, and it leads us into deep relationship with Jesus. This is not something just to put on the side. When we go through trials and tribulations, is that the time we just call on the Lord and want to see something change? Well, God wants to build us up in prayer. Will you pray with us? Will you commit to prayer? Can I encourage you? Can I exhort you? Can I plead with you? If you call Unionville Alliance Church your home, if you call me your pastor, then I exhort you and I encourage you, commit to pray this year and see what you have not seen before come to pass. And trust the Lord for answers to the most impossible prayers that you can think of. Because one thing is for sure, God is a prayer answering God. And he says, ask, and he says, ask, and he says, knock, and keep knocking, and keep going. So let's pray.